welcoming in studio right now from ESPN, your Houston Texans beat reporter, DJ Bien-Aimé. Is it fair to point at Nick Caserio or the Texans organization, which is, I think, DJ, what a lot of people tend to do these days because they're...
You need someone to blame.
Right. It's easy to blame them. It's easy to get mad at them. Is it fair to point the finger at Caserio for drafting Stingley, who has had an injury history in the past, or for the Texans for how they've managed this Stingley injury, a hamstring injury that he suffered last year? We don't know if it's related to the one that he suffered this year. What's your read on all this?
Is it fair? I think blaming Caserio for injuries is not fair, mainly because like injuries, like we've seen plenty of guys be healthy in college and then come to the NFL and they can't stay healthy, like Joe Horn from the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. He was fairly healthy at South Carolina, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy in the NFL. Things happen. Weird things happen in that capacity. Sometimes you get to the NFL and your body just starts to break down. I think since it was hamstrings, I'm not really too concerned. I get more concerned about if you tear your knee, blow an Achilles, break your neck, hurt your back.
I'd be really
like that.
Concerned about breaking my neck or back.
Yeah, like hamstrings, like it happens. You know what I mean? Like it happens.
It seems like once they start happening, that they happen a lot. And maybe I'm speaking anecdotally, but
I
feel like
you are speaking anecdotally.
With a lot of wide receivers, with a lot of cornerbacks, specifically guys like DeSean Jackson.
Right.
How many games did that guy miss over the course of his career with a hamstring injury?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it happens. I'm not ready to slam Caserio for taking Stingley over Sauce, mainly because these first two games, we kind of saw what Stingley can be, and it's kind of comparable to what Sauce will be or is or will be. Because, like, you saw, like, the lockdown ability, things of that nature. You saw people weren't really throwing to his side. When people did throw to his side, there were some incompletions. Obviously, the Colts game, there was that one down the sideline, but I don't know if that was his responsibility or if they were in cover three. He just jumped and, you know, he made a mistake, but, like, that happens. That's a mental error. Like, that's not, in my eyes, physical. I'm not there yet to say that them taking Stingley over Sauce was a disastrous decision, and Caserio should be held to the fire for that.
I can justify the decision, and ultimately,
yeah, of course,
after the fact, if you are wrong, you are wrong.
Right,
that will be held
right,
against you.
Right.
But I think we're talking about two guys in Sauce Gardner, a guy who played at Cincinnati.
Right.
And Derek Stingley, a guy who was awesome at LSU.
Right.
And I feel like that makes it a pretty good reason to draft Derek Stingley, is because he did it against better players at a higher level.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, you know, just Sauce did play against J-Mo, and yeah, he played against J-Mo, not Metchie, but he played against J-Mo in the, I think, a semi.
Right.
Semi. Yeah, and he had a little bit of help, obviously, because they could all focus on J-Mo, but he still one-on-one did hold his own. So at least you just got a glimpse of what Sauce could do against NFL caliber receivers. But, you know, everything you're saying is fair. I mean, Stingley went against the best of the best. Some of the guys that are elite now in the NFL, he went against them in college and held his own against those guys. So it's all fair to, like, the process of, okay, Stingley's healthy. All right, let's draft him. Because we've seen what his upside can be.
Yeah, exactly. DJ Bien-Aimé of ESPN in studio with me right now, Texans beat reporter. Stingley, the latest injury in a season where, holy crap, like,
yeah,
it's crazy how many banged up players there are. Yeah. So the latest injury report, DJ, Derek Stingley obviously didn't practice. Jalen Petrie with a chest injury. He's, I think, out for this week's game.
Yeah, he's not going to play.
Denzel Perryman has a hand and wrist injury.
Yep.
Is he going to play?
Probably not.
Tavier Thomas has a broken hand. He's out.
Yeah, he's trying to come back. I think he's trying to come back after the Steelers game.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's trying to come back after the Steelers game.
Laremy Tunsil limited in practice with a knee injury. Okay, so at least he'll be out there.
Yeah, he'll play.
It's crazy. And then, of course, C.J. Stroud's technically banged up. He was put on the injury report last week.
Right.
Remember how people were saying, oh, you can't play him on Sunday behind this offensive line, which is so effing stupid. But he's on an arm management plan, per his words, at a press conference this week. What does that mean?
Just not going to do too much throwing, but he was a full participant yesterday. So,
okay.
Yeah. The show that, you know, he's a little stinger, he'll be fine. Like, it's nothing to really overly monitor in that capacity. I think you just keep an eye on it, but he's fine. He's going to play this week. As long as he doesn't get slammed on his neck, he'll be good to go.
Oh, my God. That's two references to neck injuries in one segment. What have you watched recently?
I don't know. The whole concept of slamming somebody on their neck is just a funny concept.
You must like wrestling, then.
No, I actually hate the fake wrestling stuff.
Well, that's not fake. Yeah. It's real to me, damn it.
Well, it's whatever to me.
But they still put their bodies on the line.
I never watched it growing up. I don't know. I couldn't get into it. I don't know. I just... Everybody, my friends were into it. I just couldn't get it. I was too busy watching Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's real fighting, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Trying to defend the Earth. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got Majin Buu, Cell, Frieza trying to blow it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, Goku's a real hero, a real wrestler, a real fighter.
I don't know. Goku is lazy and a deadbeat dad.
He's for sure the biggest deadbeat dad that I've ever seen in my life.
Terrible father.
Raise my kids or go fight and possibly die. Oh, let's go fight and possibly die.
Also, very irresponsible when he fights because he's like, I want to be challenged.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to let Space Hitler, I'm going to let him live. I'm going to let him live. And then he comes back and then he blows everything up. Like, oh. And like multiple people. He's just like, I'm going to be merciful.
Yeah. Nothing is funnier than when Vegeta tried to pull that and absolutely got the short.
Don't hate on my dog.
No, Vegeta's the GOAT. But like, that was a... Yeah. A miscalculation
for sure. Yeah. He is DJ Pianabe. He's talking Dragon Ball Z here. Sorry, goes to show you where the sexes are.
Versatility.
Definitely versatility. Okay. So bringing him back to CJ Stroud.
Yeah. I love what I've seen from him.
I have too.
Yeah.
You mentioned a number about passing yards coming in where he could actually make some history on Sunday.
Yeah, if he passes for 213 yards, he'll be top five for a passer in his first three starts in NFL history. He'll be top three.
That's pretty crazy.
I think it's Cam, Justin Herbert, somebody, then Mahomes, then Baker. I forgot who's the third person. It's escaping my mind. But the fact that you would be – and I think Andrew Luck's in there. So the fact that you would be in the class with guys that were at their best – outside of Baker, top three guys, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is great company to be in, and you know exactly where that's heading in that capacity.
Is he the best of the three rookie quarterbacks we've seen thus far? Doesn't look like either of them are going to play on Sunday. It seems like Bryce Young is going to be on the bench. He's doubtful. Andy Dalton steps in for him, and Anthony Richardson, of course.
Right.
Looked pretty damn good against the Texans early on, but then he self-reported the concussion.
Yeah, no, I would for sure say CJ, mainly because, like, CJ is playing big boy, he's playing big boy quarterback offense, I guess, whatever you want to call that. But because, like, what he's asked to do, the type of throws he's asked to make, and he's making them, like those in breaking routes to Nico that he was hitting time and time again, where he's holding them, the middle field safety, or he's holding the robber, whoever it might be, the linebacker, faking him with his eyes, looking left and then going back right and throwing it into a window that isn't that's there, but there's no receiver, there's no defender. It's just a ball thrown into a spot and hitting Nico on the run a few times. Like, that's special stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not things that are – CJ might make it look easy, but it's not easy. He's legitimately trying to push the ball down the field, make plays. You've seen him do some off-script stuff. Like, I've been impressed with some of Anthony Richardson's done on the ground, but in terms of passing, like, his average yard per – attempt in terms of air yards, I think it's under five. Like, they're being very dink and dunk, trying to keep it super conservative, and then using him with the design runs, which is fine. No issues with that. So I've been impressed with both of them. Bryce, I kind of know what the Bryce development arc is gonna be and what it has to be. Like, I was talking about some of my friends. They were saying he could be like Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson. I'm like, nah, that's not his game. He's going to play like Drew Brees in the NFL or Tua Tagovailoa. So you're going to build an offense similar to what Tua or Brees had, where you have a really good offensive line and separators at receiver that legitimately...
They don't have that.
Yeah, and they don't have that right now. Yeah, exactly. Like, those guys aren't known for separating at this stage of their career, especially Adam, who's on the back end. You know what I mean?
I got to say, though, DJ, watching him play, he does not seem comfortable stepping up in the pocket. And I don't know if that's a byproduct of his size, but there were a couple of plays in the first game I saw him play where... The rush is bearing down on him, and he, like, weirdly stepped into throws because he sensed that pressure was right in front of him. And he would almost try to step around the defenders and not step all the way in, and the balls look very, very weakly thrown.
Yeah, he's a tiny guy. He's a small quarterback, and he doesn't have supreme athleticism or a rocket of an arm. But he does a lot of the small quarterback things that aren't quantifiable or aren't noticeable to the naked eye, which you'll just need the right supporting cast around him to for him to be able to play to the best of his ability. I still think Bryce can be a franchise type of quarterback. He just needs a similar setup to what Tua has in Miami, which, again, like, if you get him that, he can be a very dynamic quarterback. If he doesn't have that, then he could look like what he's looked like so far, where it looks like he's overwhelmed.
We'll see where they all end up, but right now, at the very least, C.J. Stroud, amazingly, 11 sacks, most in the NFL, is the healthy one. It's pretty crazy. and I mean, knock on wood, in a year where the Texans have suffered so many injuries. He's DJ Bien-Aimé in studio with me, Houston, Texas beat reporter for ESPN. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. How many quarterbacks would you take ahead of Trevor Lawrence right now? And how many teams are more bona fide contenders? Studio, I think it leads DJ a lot of people to maybe take the Jaguars not that seriously, at least here in the city of Houston.
I mean, they're 0-1 in the last one game against the Jags, so that's all that matters.
Oh, okay.
In that capacity.
Look at you.
You know, they lost their last game against the Jags, so, but, you know, I mean, I think it'll be a competitive game, but, I mean, obviously, the injuries are what it is. I think the only way they can stay in this game is if either the defense is playing lights out or, like, CJ comes out firing, you know, like he has, like, leads him to like two touchdowns in the first half. Cause then, like, okay, now it's a toss, pick them and toss up type of game, you know what I mean? That capacity. But if the offense starts slow, like they've had the first two games, then it could get a little away from them in that capacity.
I'm hoping that the very sloppy Chiefs Jaguars game last week was a byproduct of the Chiefs just being really sloppy, more so than a byproduct of Jacksonville's defense maybe being a little bit better than we expected. Because I think a lot of people going into the year were looking at them and thinking, wow, they didn't really do anything on defense.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do anything on defense?
From what I watched, it seemed that the Jags defensive coordinator, Mike, I think, I forgot his last name.
But, so he's a real barn burner, but he's defensive coordinator.
I think he did a really good job in terms of disguising and throwing different type of looks. Like there were, I saw one play where he had like the nickel to, I want to say, to the boundary, and then the nickel went straight to the middle of the field, and he was playing like that cover two invert, and you had the corners on the outside playing that deep cover two on the outside, and you had like that nickel moving all the way to the middle and playing.
So they were doing some funky stuff.
So they're doing some funky stuff.
Mike Caldwell is the defensive coordinator,
right,
by the way.
Right. And Mahomes, it felt that Mahomes not having legitimate receivers on the outside that he can trust was actually starting to be a little bit of an issue in that capacity.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
well, so that, I mean, that game was sloppy. Jacksonville.
Right. On both sides. It was sloppy on both sides.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely on both sides.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence acknowledged as such. How many quarterbacks would you take before Trevor Lawrence? And I'm going to give you my answer very quickly.
Go ahead. Give me your answer.
Right now. So you have the elite quarterbacks, Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, in no particular order. I would take all of those quarterbacks over Trevor Lawrence. I think he's in this almost conversation, along with Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, and Trevor Lawrence. I think Dak Prescott, with Mike McCarthy, amazingly, could potentially join this almost in the elite conversation for quarterbacks. So I think he's top 10, and I do think that maybe there's an argument to be made, but we don't make it because of ageism with Matt Stafford. He could potentially find his way back into that top 10. But how many quarterbacks would you take definitively right now over Trevor Lawrence?
Right now?
Right now.
Probably two.
Just two?
Yeah.
You think he's that good?
Yeah. I think Josh and Mahomes are the only two quarterbacks where I don't have to think about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not even with Joe.
Nah, I think Joe's a little gassed.
Right now, he is definitely injured, and he might not even play on Sunday.
I think Joe Burrow is really, really good. I would put him in that, like, almost elite category. I think
And you like Lawrence better, though.
Yeah, going forward, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I like him a little bit more going forward. But I think, so, like, Joe Burrow's legacy, I guess, or whatever you want to call that, is because of his playoff runs. But, like, his defense has been outstanding in the playoffs. Like, super outstanding. You know, like the fact that you can hold Mahomes to 3 points in the second half, which gives your offense a chance to come back. Or like how against Tennessee, Joe Burrow threw for 300 yards, but like Tennessee forced, I mean, the Bengals defense caught three interceptions in that game against Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for my – and then the Buffalo game, like, the Cincinnati Bengals defense held Josh Allen, that offense, to 10 points. And mind you, the previous week they scored, like, 32, right? And they really, like, shut down Josh Allen and the crew. Like, yeah, you know, the Bengals scored 27, but that, in my eyes, was more about the defense really doing their thing. So, I would say Joe Burrow's a tad bit guy. I think he's still a great quarterback, but – you know, for me, elite. Man. There's only two guys that are in that elite category, which is Josh and Mahomes.
But you think Lawrence is close?
Oh, and I forgot Lamar. I think I would take Lamar.
Come on, MVP. Yeah,
so I would take those three: okay. Lamar, Mahomes, and Josh Allen over.
Okay, okay. The thing with Lawrence, I can't get over. Whenever I watched him at Clemson, I was impressed by everything that he brings to the table. But I always thought there were some throws that he just overthrows for reasons I could never understand. I think we saw some of that last year. And I'm sorry, I'm just never going to forgive him for throwing four interceptions in a playoff game early on. Like, to me, that's indefensible. And I think it's ridiculous that people were complimenting him the way that they were after that game. Like, the Chargers, I think, lost that game. Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense should have done something with that. They were given so many opportunities and they never really put their foot on the neck of Jacksonville.
Now. Yeah, I do think that, you know, with the Trevor discussion, he gets people, since the pre-draft hype was what it was, people are always willing to push him into that category. It's kind of like similar to what, like, Justin Fields, like the pre-draft hype with Justin Fields was so positive and complimentary that people are still holding on to that and they don't want to let go of the fact that he's not a good quarterback. Yes, coaches think the O-line isn't that great. I think the receivers are actually much better than people realize, but, like, people are going to find so many excuses because of what they thought about Justin coming in to the draft. And it's kind of similar with Trevor, like, since he's really good, people want to push him into that elite category. He's not there yet. I think he will get there, but he's not there yet. So I think, you know, a lot of it is pre-draft notion, which is why a lot of people were ready to be like, oh, yeah, Zach sucks. Kick him to the curve, because pre-draft, a lot of people didn't like Zach. So, like, it was pre-draft confirmation bias. Well, oh, I knew he wasn't going to be good. So that's it. Like, I'm good with moving on from him when it's like, yeah, he stinks too, but Justin Fields is not good either. But everybody wants to find all these reasons to defend him. And it's kind of similar to, like, with Trevor, where people are trying to push him into that elite category because the pre-draft notion was he was a once-in-a-generation type talent. So since he's that, we have to hurry up and push him into that category.
It's weird, too, that because I think all these guys are in the same conversation. We do that with Justin Herbert and make a lot of excuses for Herbert. But when
excuses are fair for Herbert. They're fair for Herbert.
I know, but we make so many of them. Like, the only reason that I get annoyed with the excuses made for Herbert is because they're constantly there, and I actually agree with some of them. But then at the same time, Tua gets criticized a lot more than any of these three.
Yeah.
And who's been putting up the better numbers than all of these guys? And obviously, he's in a better situation. And I know you're smiling right now because your Dolphins beat my Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Kiss my ass. But to bring it back to this, like, it's weird that Tua gets criticized more than those two, because I think that there's a lot of similarities between the three, not in terms of their actual overall style, but in terms of what have they proven.
Right.
And I think when Tua's on his A game, it's definitely the most statistically productive.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes with aesthetics. Obviously, Herbert and Trevor, they have the big, massive arms, so that helps in terms of people wanting to give excuses. And in all honesty, if you criticize Tua, you have a much better chance of getting engagement. And that plays a big factor in our industry, right? Like, saying hypothetically, like, I don't know, like, Kenny Pickett stinks, right? Or, like, not saying I think he stinks, but, like, if you say Kenny Pickett stinks, or, like, I don't know, Malik Willis stinks, or somebody that isn't as polarized, or Jordan Love isn't that good, it doesn't get the same reaction where if you say Tua isn't good, or you say Tua is great, you're going to get that reaction and that engagement, and people go, everybody has an opinion on Tua, right? Not everybody has an opinion on Kenny Pickett. Not everybody has an opinion on Jordan Love. Not everybody has an opinion
I don't think everyone has an opinion on Trevor Lawrence, and everyone, I don't think everyone necessarily has an opinion on Justin Herbert. Because I think some people are like, I think they're good.
They don't really
dig any deeper.
Right. Where Tua, like, he's always on, because, like, he was on the national stage from his freshman year all the way to now. So we've seen him so much. Same with Trevor. But we've seen Tua so much, and we've seen all the ups and downs, and we see the hype machine and the hype train.
Right.
So, like,
it's a different profile when you're at Alabama versus Clemson as well,
right,
too.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
absolutely. Little bit different.
Yeah, yeah.
So. SEC versus the ACC.
Right.
All right, Texans Jaguars on Sunday. The Jaguars, I think, are an above-average football team.
Yeah.
I feel like to this point in the year, their offense has been underachieving. That's sort of common with the entirety of the league. It's why C.J. Stroud's so high when it comes to total passing yards.
Right.
To this point, are the Jaguars like a true contender? Or are the Jaguars actually a lot closer? Are the Jaguars closer to the Texans than they are to being a Super Bowl contender right now?
Oh, no. Nah, they're probably closer to being a Super Bowl contender than they are to the
Texans. Okay, so you're in, so you are in.
No. I don't think they're Super Bowl contender, though.
Okay.
No.
But you're
no.
closer. They're closer to being a Super Bowl contender
yeah,
than that.
Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. Could they not? For me, for you to be a Super Bowl contender, you have to be really good in the trenches. And I don't think they're good enough in the trenches to be a Super Bowl contender in that capacity. Because I think, like, Will Anderson this week is going to really abuse that right tackle.
I hope so.
Harrison, the first-round pick out of Oklahoma. Because he's... This is like his third start ever at right tackle. So, like, you know, Will Anderson is going to give him a lot of issues. But I do think, you know, there'll be some chipping with the running backs and the tight ends coming, you know, coming off the line and things of that nature. But, yeah, no, I think their offensive line, their defensive line isn't good enough to be a true contender. And obviously, like, they're actually not that good in terms of stopping the pass. They're allowing 250 yards per game. Well, 256 yards per game, which is 25th in the NFL. And it's not like they've played, like, lights out passing attacks. Even though Mahomes is great, but we saw in the first game what he looked like. And we saw in the second game, they only scored 17 points. So it isn't like they faced teams clicking on all cylinders offensively because, you know, the Lions, I mean, not the Lions, but the Colts, they played in the first game, you know, and Anthony Richardson was able to have a lot of success throwing the football. So that's why I think C.J. Stroud is going to be in the top five for most passing yards in the first three starts in NFL history because he's going to get well over 213.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, because like their secondary is fine, but it's not like – it's not great. You know what I mean? It's fine. It's not good. It's fine. So I fully expect the C.J. Stroud to have another really good game on the stat sheet, and that's another reason why I don't think the Jags are a true contender because they're not that good in the trenches offensively and defensively in their pass attack. Their pass defense is and did you know the Jaguars offense, passing offense, is only averaging 217 yards per game?
No, I didn't. It's been a slow start for Jacksonville to this point. Prediction, DJ, before we let you go. Jaguars are 8.5-point favorites per mybookie.ag. Promo code bet975.
I'd probably go like 27 17.
Jaguars?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish it was that wasn't the case, but got to shoot it straight.
Yeah, I know. Alas. Anyway, here's DJ Bien-Aimé. Follow his great work at ESPN, at DJ Bien-Aimé on Twitter. DJ, always a pleasure, man. And we'll talk about this next week.
No problem.
He is DJ Bien-Aimé. I am Paul Gallant.